Hey, what's up, people? How are you all doing today? Today, we're going to be discussing the question, is it wrong to make fan art? And if you want to learn how to turn your artistic weakness into your strength, check out artprof.org, where we have lots of free resources, tutorials, critiques, pro development, and all that good stuff. So, Kat, I want to ask you the question. How old were you when you started making fan art?
I'm honestly not sure, because I feel like I've always been making fan art because it felt like the best thing I could do to express my passion for a certain story when I was little. And I remember specifically maybe when I was around 8 years old that I did a fan art of the Mismantle Chronicles book. And for those of you guys who don't know, it's about anthropomorphic animals. So I drew like a squirrel in a beautiful ball gown, and all of my classmates were like fawning over it, going like, oh my gosh, Aspen, she's so pretty. I got a lot of elementary school clout for that piece of fan art. What about you, Jordan? When did you start making fan art?
I bet you that my very first drawing was fan art, technically, like, because I was so in love with Hercules and Tarzan and you know, Emperor's New Groove, all these movies that came out when I was really, really little, and I would just draw that. I didn't have a concept of, or at least I don't think I really thought about drawing my original characters. I'm 3 years old. I barely can spell my name right, you know? So, it's just been part of me since birth, essentially.
Great. And I feel like fan art is honestly the start of many artists' artistic lives. It comes from a place of passion, and it comes from a place of like genuine love and interest for stories and things you see around you. And so I think that fan art should be discussed more. Surprisingly, in the art world, whether it's art school or any industry in general, fan art kind of becomes a taboo subject. What do you think about that, Jordan? Why do people kind of shy away from talking about fan art?
You know, I think, well, it's funny you say that, because I actually got a message the other day about someone asking about whether or not fan art was something that was appropriate, because they were worried that it would be considered plagiarism or inauthentic. But in reality, that's how a lot of artists start out. Like this picture with me as a 6 or 7 year old, you know, it's technically fan art. That's Cusco and Hercules. So it's just, if I didn't do that, I wouldn't be where I am now. And so, and technically when you're working in a studio environment, you're getting paid to draw characters that most of the time you didn't create yourself, you know? And what are your thoughts on that question?
I think a lot of fear stems from presenting fan art, because as you said, fan art comes from a place that you didn't create. Somebody else made a specific thing, and then you are just making like a spin-off of that thing. And beyond the fear of plagiarism, I just feel like people get looked down upon in terms of like the creativity level. It's like, oh, like all the hard work has been done for you. The character's been established, the world's been established, and you're just doing like a spin-off event from that. And people sort of look down on it. I mean, that's why when there is fan fiction versus literature, people like, they don't consider it literature, essentially. They think fan fiction is its own shameful world or whatever. But I do think that fan fiction and fan art can be great springboards of creativity, because yes, all the hard work has been established for you, and now you can just take those characters and do whatever you want with them. And I think this is like the first step in learning how to create your own stories.
Right. I want to give a quick shout out to Angie for the super chat, and says we're closer to 100K and Jordan's wet charcoal drawing. And it just says, I vote for Prof. Lou fan art. Thank you so much. I can't believe you guys want me to do the wet charcoal thing. Anyway, let's focus on something that I actually really like. Is as we pop up on Aang, my favorite. So let me ask you, what do you think are some potential benefits of doing fan art, or at least starting out doing that with in your artistic journey?
Well, I named a few before, which is they're great springboards to be able to eventually create your own stories, because you're practicing with existing stories. Another thing I think is beneficial about art, fan art, is that you will learn how to draw, because you will sort of emulate these styles, and eventually you will try to absorb them into your own art style, and eventually you can find your own from that. Another thing is that you can actually gain a following from making fan art. Mm-hmm. But there's also a drawback to this, because if you post enough fan art, people will eventually expect you to only publish fan art, and then maybe you'll get some drawback if you try to post your own stuff.
Yeah. We have a comment from Slepnir. It says, fan art is the starting point that artists and people don't want to acknowledge. That's so true. I think, you know, everyone has to start from somewhere. You think about like some of the greatest musicians, they listened to musicians that came before them. They emulated them before they came out with their own style. And it specifically, I noticed when it comes to things like animation, comics, manga, anime, like that whole world where it starts to be looked down upon a little bit more often.
I mean, I think it's interesting when people say fan art, they immediately associate it with like comics and animation and manga and anime, because yes, it's true. You see a lot of fan art from that, but you know, fan arts also come from like novels and literature and stuff like that. Like you have official big name artists who make essentially fan art as well, to like, they're emulating the great masters. Mm-hmm. And I don't think we should shy away from that. I think we should call it as it is. Yeah. Fan art.
Yeah, you know, you just mentioned, you know, there are some big artists. There's one in particular who is very famous for it, a guy named Ross Tran, or his YouTube channel is known as Ross Draws. And he started by just doing fan art of like Moana and, you know, the Powerpuff Girls or Cinderella or Mulan, or, and just built a whole following. And you can see now he's got over a million people who just love his artwork and check in every week to see what he's got next. And it's not impossible to do great stuff or get a following just by doing simply that.
That's true. I mean, to each their own. I feel like Ross Tran has built a very specific base where he's making these very specific artworks to attract a certain audience. Mm-hmm. And he does it on a business level. And I think he's been very successful with that. I think the drawback with this sort of job, though, is that if Ross Tran starts to post his own original artwork, there may be some backlash, but who knows? Maybe his following is loyal enough that they will follow him beyond just Moana fan art. Maybe Ross Tran will do his own original things and they'll follow him for that as well.
That's a good point, because that's something that it's hard to predict, right? Like you can't really determine whether or not your audience is going to follow you when you start doing your own stuff versus like if all I did was post fan art and then I suddenly had my own original property, would I be alienating my own audience, or would the previous, you know, audience who liked on my fan art just follow me through the journey, you know?
Yeah. And I'm wondering, Jordan, if you ever actually made fan art for the clout, like you wanted to attract certain viewers of your art through fan art.
There are times, I don't do fan art that often nowadays, but there have been times where I've noticed I've posted something that comes from another IP and it has gotten very popular. Like I posted some background master studies that I did from like Legend of Korra, Atlantis, and that got a lot of likes, but when I post my own stuff, it doesn't get as many. And I try not to let it get to me. I think a lot of it also has to do with the hashtags I use, because, you know, a lot of people follow that stuff.
I was going to read the comment. Sorry. So H Yak is asking, fan art keeps you drawing when your drawing skills aren't good enough. That's a really good comment. Yeah. When I was doing fan art, I also definitely was trying to emulate the styles I was seeing. Like I did so much fan art of Inuyasha and Naruto when I was little, and I was absolutely trying to emulate those styles. I was absolutely trying to improve my own art skills. But at a certain point, I feel like I did get a good enough grasp of art from fan art where I started to have fun with fan art besides just like copying it verbatim. Like I started to put these certain characters into different kinds of situations and different kinds of art styles, like my fan art for One Piece. I don't know if anybody here reads One Piece, but One Piece is an enormous manga with so many characters. And so it's sort of like limitless potential of what you can do with those characters, such as what you can see here.
So awesome. Oh, AJ says, I made friends with high school bullies through fan art. That's an accomplishment. Wow. I don't even know if I want to show bullies my art, because sometimes people get bullied just for doing art, you know?
No, but like I actually see the appeal I mean, why do we do fan art for a certain audience? It's to get on their good sides. So if you do want to avoid bullies, I guess just like draw fan art of their favorite media.
Fair enough. Fair enough. I always, I remember just being the quiet kid. Like I would do drawings of like Buzz Lightyear in class, and I got some friends doing that. But then like, if there was another artist who for some reason didn't like me or whatever, then some people would pivot and, you know, they bully me by proxy, you know? So like, it's just a weird situation. Maybe it was just the way I grew up.
Right. So Jordan, I'm also curious, do you do fan art today?
Not as much, actually. Here's the thing. I actually would like to do more simply for the reason being that I want to learn how to study other styles a little bit better. Mm-hmm. I feel like I can emulate a lot of things very well, but there are some particular artists I'm just like, oh, if I can only draw like that when I'm not, you know, copying them. That's something I would really, really like to do.
So Tenley is asking, aren't master copies a form of fan art? I would say so. Like, look at this. I think this is a master copy of Naruto. So I would say master copies are a form of fan art. And ultimately, through fan art, people are trying to improve their skills, but they're also trying to honor this really great piece of work that already exists.
Mm-hmm. Maria Kilson says, artists are first fans and consumers of art. Fan art is natural in my view. What I think is worth talking about is when the original is not an organization and selling fan art is harmful to their money. Oh, what do you think about that?
Well, okay, that's got a lot of layers to unpack there. What I think is worthy of talking about is when the original is not an organization and selling fan art is harmful. Are you saying that there are organizations behind fan art sometimes that like exploit creators in order to like to earn money? I think that definitely exists, but I think this is where we get a little bit blurry with the boundaries of plagiarism, because if there are companies and organizations taking advantage of a specific creator's works for their benefit, that is grounds for like copyright infringement. Mm-hmm. Whereas for single small-time creators making fan art solely for the purpose of learning or celebrating an original work and not necessarily profiting from it, that's different.
Maria says, if the artist is small, making fan art of their work affects them more than large companies. I guess so. I mean, I guess it depends on how much, you know, if they are making money off of it. But some big companies care too. Like, I heard a story one time about this little boy. He was maybe 6 or 7 years old. He died. I don't know if it was an accident or if he was sick, but he loved Spider-Man, and his parents wanted to put a Spider-Man logo or something on his tombstone, and Disney said no, they weren't allowed to do that. And that one was really strange to me, because I was like, it's not like people are, you know, it's not like they're making money off of this. It's a way to, you know, honor their kid and all of that. So that made me really uncomfortable, but I don't own a major property like Spider-Man, so I'm not allowed to, I can't say what is right or wrong, but.
Right. There are really blurred boundaries between fan art and just plagiarism. Another thing that comes to my mind is conventions, people gathering at a specific area to sell their works. And most of this work is original, but some of it is fan art. Like, I can think of anime and manga conventions. I'm sure there's comic conventions, and people do sell fan art there. And somehow it's like allowed in conventions. And again, I'm not a lawyer, so I don't know the specifics of this, but somehow this is allowed in conventions with small time creators, but it would be dicier if like a larger organization were involved and their official imagery was completely copied and used for certain person's profit.
Mm-hmm. Ira's saying, what are your opinion on selling your fan arts? Is it okay to take profit from it? I guess you kind of answered that question there. I think that a lot of it depends on also the style that you're using, because sometimes like a lot of the stuff that I did when I was little looked exact like I won't say it looked exactly like what I was trying to emulate, but my attempt was to make it look exactly like what it was. And that can be a red flag. But there is a lot of fan art that it takes the same characters, but the style is so changed. And like, I remember seeing the Mario Brothers, but it was in the style of like a Japanese like woodblock style painting. It looked so cool. And it took me a second to even realize it was those characters. So there's such a wide range of ways you can create something.
Right. I don't think you are able to profit from fan art if it looks exactly like the original artwork. But if you put a spin on it, you make them do something completely out of character, or you give them a different style, then I think you have the grounds to be able to sell this as just like a print as a full-time creator. So something that I would often do actually is just take fictional characters and make them realistic, such as this example in this is Aisling, I think that's her name, from The Secret of Kells. I try to make her realistic. And I did this a lot with Ghibli films and also with One Piece and other animes and mangas. So I would just like make everyone realistic. And I think if I had taken these to conventions and sold them as prints, I think that would have been fine, because they are so different from the original style that I don't think anyone can bother me for that.
Yeah, I would agree with you. I don't think anyone would have bothered you for something along those lines. Go ahead, Kat.
Thank you very much to Chell Rays for the super sticker. As you guys know, your support helps us keep running. And because of your support, we can have this fan art stream today.
So I have a question for you, Kat. Have you personally heard of any stories where someone either got a job or was denied a job because of fan art?
I do, actually, and we just saw this person yesterday. So there is a person named Roxana Shadmer. You can go ahead and look her up and give her some love. But she essentially got all of her professional gigs by cosplaying, which I think is a very different form of fan art. So she would take these characters that she would see in films or games or whatever, and she would make costumes. Like, she would become that character. And because of all the intricate costuming skills she developed, she actually eventually went on to work with Leica, an official stop motion animation company.
Yeah, that was such a cool story to hear. I actually had a class with her some years ago, and I remember seeing all the cosplay stuff and how awesome it was. And who knew she would end up where she was? So congrats to her, Roxana, if you're watching this.
Shout out to Roxana. We have a comment from Moonbeam that says, there's also the hyper-realistic fan art of real celebrities. Where do you guys think that fits into the discussion?
I haven't seen people's like sell that too often at like conventions. You know, usually when I see someone sell a picture of a celebrity, it might be them in a particular role, or someone specifically asked that person to, like, there was a commission, like, I want you to paint Dwayne The Rock Johnson. I don't know, I'm just making people, you know. I don't know. What do you think, Kat?
I think most people often do that for the clout and to attract, perhaps, that celebrity's attention. So when you make a hyper-realistic fan art of a celebrity, that's somebody's face. Suddenly it is, like, a very specific person, and I don't know if you can actually sell that. Additionally, if it's copied straight from a photo, now the photographer has grounds to sue you for plagiarism. So again, blurred boundaries. I don't really know what would happen and what kind of category it fits in if you do that kind of thing. But I know there are plenty of, like, there are tons of TikTok videos and Instagram posts of people making fan art of celebrities just to get that celebrity's attention. So maybe it's just for the clout.
Yeah. This reminds me, there was a time when I was applying to art schools, and I had two drawings or paintings of celebrities. And obviously I didn't take the picture. In some cases I wasn't alive when the photo was taken, and I wanted to put them in my portfolio, and my teacher was like, yeah, that's not a good idea. And I was so bummed out by that. So it can be a really tricky thing when it's real people like that, because you just, like Kat said about the photographers, you never know.
Right. And also, just as clarification for anyone else who's applying to art school and making a portfolio, do not include fan art in your portfolio, because that's just like an automatic no-no. You're supposed to make your own 100% original work for your portfolio. So keep in mind of that. We have a comment from Maria that says, I was a little into making fan art when I was younger, but the more time passed, less it held my interest. It's just boring now. I'm still inspired by things, but not really making fan art. That's actually really great to hear because, you know, everyone has their own opinion on fan art. So Jordan, what did you think of Maria's comment?
I think it's actually pretty great because what I notice is a lot of people, when they do the fan art, when they go in the fan art route too much, it becomes a crutch for them. Mm-hmm. And it starts to inhibit their creativity. And over time, you might run into a situation where it's like, well, I don't have any of my own characters. I don't have any of my own stories. And as an artist, that's a really challenging thing because let's say you do want to go into the industry and you're asked to create a character, that's going to be that much more difficult for you.
Right. I completely agree. I do also want to present the flip side in that, you know, I still have the desire to make fan art because I feel like there is nothing better I can do to show my passion. I can buy the merchandise, I can talk about it all I want, but I feel like the best thing I can do is dedicate my time and my skill, which is priceless, to create something in honor of something I love. And I also want to acknowledge that. That's wonderful. That's beautiful. Pursue that if you want to. And if you have the time. I don't really have the time nowadays. Otherwise, I would make so much fan art of Naoki Urasawa's manga.
We have a comment from Art Prof that says, my daughter has been really upset because her friends praise kids who draw anime and she gets no reaction for her original drawings. Any advice for any young artists in similar situations?
This isn't just a young people thing. This is a world thing. You will notice that people just are super drawn to things they've already seen before. And you can be like the most original artist out there. You can be the most original storyteller. But if you don't find your right audience, it's just going to fall flat. And you cannot please everyone. Some people are just like, oh, Cusco. Like Jordan when he was six.
Love Cusco.
But then there are other people who will appreciate your original drawing. So just as a brief answer to that daughter who was making original work and not getting praise for it, is that like, keep doing what you do and you will find your crowd. You will find the audience that will appreciate your original drawings.
Yeah, I would say the same thing, that she'll find the audience, and then she's gonna have a leg up because she has her own ideas and her own opinions about things, and that is always a benefit.
Right. And I also want to again expand on the fact that fan art doesn't have to be just from visual media. Fan art can also just be of literature and stories that you just read, or real life people like celebrities, as somebody else mentioned. So that was a really good point. We have a question from Levi Fiction that says, weird question, is cosplay fan art?
Huh. I never thought about that. I guess technically, I guess so.
I mean, we literally just talked about Roxana.
Technically, yes. It's probably in a slightly different category because it's not a drawing per se, but people, you know, sell photos of them doing stuff all the time, or they make costumes for other people. I just saw the coolest video, actually. Sorry, it's a slight tangent. This guy had a custom-made Iron Man mask that opened up exactly like how it was in the movies. It was the coolest thing I've ever seen in my life. It worked perfectly. I was like, I want that. It was great.
Yeah, and not just like the source of inspiration for fan art can be very different, but like fan art itself can manifest itself in different ways. So we're talking mostly about 2D drawings in this slideshow, but cosplay is also a veritable form of fan art. And another form of fan art is just, honestly, I've seen interior design that I thought felt like fan art, because people would try to like replicate different scenes from Disney films or replicate scenes from like Ghibli films so that their houses looked exactly like what those film sets look like. And I thought, well, if you aren't just living in a world of fan art, I don't know what else you would call this.
That's freaking epic. Oh, we have a comment from Alice in Wonderland. Says, I find fan art can really help with understanding which colors work really well together. That is true. For some of my projects, like Shadowboxers, I would study stuff from other properties and it gave me a much better understanding of how to do it for myself. I don't know, Kat, do you have that same experience?
I mean, absolutely. People do fan art in order to learn about art a lot of the times. And color theory is something you can learn from existing works. I think something else that we can touch on is doing fan arts of your friends' works. I always find it fascinating when my friends do something in their style. Like very recently, one of my friends did a drawing of Mama Lupe from my story, Mama Bruja. And basically it's just like this little old Mexican lady. And it was so interesting to see it in my friend's style. And I wish people could do that more. Just like have fun with it. Like the point, like we started with fan art because we were having fun with it. We should continue to have fun with it. Like, why not?
I agree. It's funny you say that because actually right on my wall right here, I have two birthday cards from friends of mine who did fan art of my character, Javen. And it's just like, happy birthday, Jordan. And I look up every single day and see that. And I get a big smile out of it.
Oh, we have a comment from C. Cantrell that says, kids want to be liked and be popular. It is a lesson in itself to teach kids and ourselves to be yourself. Patience. So in terms of this being applicable to fan art, I do think that, yes, we can start out with fan art and certainly gain a following and business from fan art. But at some point, I feel like naturally an artist will want to create their own things and find their own very specific crowd. So Jordan, can you tell us a little bit about your departure from fan art? Like, when did you stop making fan art?
I think I stopped doing most of my fan art around the time I entered college. Mostly because the stuff I was doing at RISD was very different stylistically. But I felt like I was doing the fan art just so I can understand how to, you know, construct these characters that I liked so much and just to learn how to draw. But I don't think it was ever a conscious choice. I never really said, I'm not doing fan art. It just kind of morphed for me. It's just life changed. But I'm not opposed to it. And quite honestly, there have been times recently where I've thought about, I should do a fan art of such and such character, you know?
And then you never do it. Yeah, I actually haven't thought much about my own transition out from fan art, but you know, actually a certain incident does stick out in my mind. I didn't stop, but it was definitely something I thought about from then on. I went to a summer program in CalArts when I was around age 16, and the professor said something like, if you are doing fan art, stop. I would rather see your original work. So never do fan art. And I was like, oh God, okay. I won't do fan art anymore. And I think he meant well by saying that. I do understand that as an artist, as a storyteller, you do want to make your own original work. Fan art can hinder you in this case. But to ban fan art altogether is such a fun thing. And it's such a great thing to do in honor of things you love.
Yeah. We have a comment here from HT Pokepack. It's a really fun name. I used to only do fan art. I had zero completed original illustrations. Fast forward a few years, now all I do is original work and only do fan art 2 or 3 times a year if I'm lucky. Okay, so there's so many different pathways to do it. And Kat, going back to your story about the CalArts guy, that's so unfortunate because I wonder what the true intention was behind that statement. Because is it like, just because he didn't like it, or was he worried you weren't going to be able to find work, you know, in a couple years? Like, do you have an idea of what that was about?
No, I kind of understood his intentions. He did want us to have our own voices. And he felt probably that fan art was inhibiting that. Another thing is that we were all applying for art schools eventually. And so evidently we can't have fan art in our portfolios either.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. There are two separate stories I have that people who have done fan art have gotten work, like real work in the animation industry. So one, I was at Disney and I was talking to one of the creators of Phineas and Ferb, and he said that they hired someone specifically because they found Phineas and Ferb fan art on DeviantArt of the characters as adults. And they're like, we can use her. and they reached out to her and she was like, is this for real? And they're like, yes, come work for us. So
Yeah. It would also kind of be funny if it was a scam.
It would be, but not this time. And then another guy, he did Avatar fan art, and he did like one of those portfolio critiques at a convention, and the dude hired him like on the spot, and he's been working in the industry for the last 10 years. So it's not impossible.
Mm-hmm. We have a comment from Ariel that says, my schools in the 60s and 70s were so strict, we weren't allowed to copy anything. I was in grad school when I finally had a professor who said we could learn a lot by copying. Yes, master copies. It's so funny. Everyone has their own sort of journey with fan art. I want to believe every single artist, absolutely everyone, has done fan art. There's no exception. What do you think of this thought, Jordan? Is this controversial?
Oh, it's always controversial. no, I think it's true. I mean, because let's be real. When you look at, say, a Renaissance painting, let's say you've never seen a cartoon or anime or whatever, you just go to a museum, your parents take you when you look, and you see Albert Bierstadt, you know, or John Singer Sargent, you're like, I want to do that. And you go home and you try and mimic that yourself. That's technically fan art. It's just it just so happens that these artists have been dead for a long time and they're in a different style.
Okay, that's interesting. So what if I were to draw my own original stuff, but I heavily imitate the style of another creator? Would that count as fan art?
I guess it depends on what it is. I've noticed that if a style is particularly unique, like a Van Gogh or something, then they'll say it's fan art. But if it's something that's more like Hudson River School, then they'll just be like, oh, this, you know, they'll give you a pass for certain things. So I think it's very subjective in that sense, personally.
Right. It's very blurred barriers.
Yeah.
We have a comment from Amelia that says, I am working on a giant gouache painting on wood that is inspired by an artist. My sketch for the painting looks nothing like her finished product, but I'm worried about it looking too much alike. Jordan, do you have any advice for Amelia?
I would say, first off, with any fan art, I think just find a way to make it your own uniquely. If you want to change the color palette, if you want to change the lighting, if you want to have your own interesting composition, make it yours. And I think that's going to be the key for everybody. You can still be heavily inspired by something, but take from it those core elements that really inspire you and don't just do a one-to-one ratio copy. You know?
Right. I'm going to have to one-up Jordan on this because yes, fan art can be a stepping stone to learn. So yes, you can do master copies of fan art, but eventually it's kind of weird to say because you're saying, oh, I'm going to draw fan art, but I want to be recognized as that specific person making the fan art. So now you're starting to put more of yourself into it. And I think this is also a great stepping block to be able to make 100% original artwork from your own, I don't know, creative mind.
Right. Brittany is saying, at least for me, fan art was my way to figure out basic anatomy and design. I had no instruction until college, so it was the most accessible way to learn. You know, I did the exact same thing. A lot of the drawings that you guys saw in the stream of like Jerry Mouse and Sonic the Hedgehog, I tried to copy exactly what I saw so I could understand how these things were formed, because at least in my high school, no one was really teaching, you know, character design for animation. Like, that wasn't something that was offered. So I had to teach myself a lot of that stuff.
Actually, that's so interesting that you bring that up, Jordan, because now that I'm thinking about it, one of the reasons why I was making fan art of Inuyasha and Naruto and such was because I did want to learn the cartoon style. Because up until that point, I'd only been drawing realistically. I'd just been doing still lives and cylinders and spheres, and gosh, that's boring, right? But then I found this amazing story called Inuyasha, and I was like, I want to do this, and I want to draw like that too. So really, fan art was my introduction to cartooning, and now I'm a comics artist.
see what I'm saying? Look at that. Rose says, I think people should give credit to the fact that fan art is often a starting point for people. I don't necessarily think fan art is a bad thing unless it limits your learning. I agree. I completely agree. Especially if you want a career in the arts. It's one thing if you're just doing it as a hobby and you're like, oh, I like doing this little thing. But if you want a career, that's definitely something to consider. So.
Right. We have to emphasize the fact again that fan art is a double-edged sword. Yes, it can help you, but other times it can limit you. It can cut you back.
Yeah.
We have a comment from Ren that says, I have to wonder if there's a sort of double standard between fan art of animation / graphic novels and live action series, at least professionally. But maybe this talk is more about the concepts. So yeah, actually, I feel like there is this double standard, and should I call it triple standard and quadruple standard, like against like fan art for animation graphic novels, fan art for live action series, master copies of master paintings and stuff like that. Yeah. I feel like everyone wants to treat these fan arts differently, but they are just fan arts in the end. And I think when somebody puts down one and elevates the other, I feel like they're just doing this out of their own bias. Mm-hmm. And so you don't want to hang out with these kind of people. You want to hang out with your crowd, the people who will elevate you for what you love to do.
Yeah, no one wants to be around a party pooper. Mm-hmm. Ave says, or Avi, Avery. Okay, Avery. says descriptions are important too. Like, give credit to the artist and say that your work was inspired by said artist you're trying to emulate. That is so true. Shout out all the other artists that are giving that artistic juice and the creativity. Like, there's nothing wrong with that. And I think that should be done more. Yes.
Right. Sometimes I think that fan art of a certain very popular thing isn't given credit anymore because people almost understand, oh, that is like Naruto, you know. I've actually seen whole Twitter accounts who are dedicated of drawing certain characters, like, let's just say Spider-Man. Like, this is a Spider-Man account, but it's drawn in that artist style. Mm-hmm. To the point where I'm just like, dang, just do your own thing. Your Spider-Man artwork is amazing, but you all you draw is Spider-Man, so please do something else.
Yeah, that is fair. That is fair. I get that. Phoebe P says, does parodying fall into fan art, or would it be its own thing?
Fan art is very all-encompassing, as we mentioned before. It can be 2D drawings, which we just showed, or it can be cosplay, or it can be even interior design. So I'd say parodying, whether that be drawing or videos or anything like that, I think it would count as fan art as well. So long as you're paying homage to an original work, I think that counts as fan art.
Yeah. I agree with that definition. And, you know, in the parodying, the, you know, adding your own spin on it, the, you know, the example I gave about the Mario Brothers and the woodblock style, like, those are all examples of how you can push things to be stylistically or different, or push the story, or just change something up. I think those are the ones that are really going to stand out for sure. So, but it doesn't make it a bad thing to make it stand out, like, especially if you're selling it.
We got a comment from Blue Run that says, anything that gets people drawing is great. For lots of young people, it's imitating their favorite comic or manga. That's great, but we need to mentor these young artists to move beyond that. Agreed. I feel like also a lot of artists will innately move on from that as well, because, you know, you're going to consume all these wonderful stories and be introduced to all these wonderful creators and make fan art, but eventually you will have the desire to make your own story. And I think that just comes naturally for some people, and other people need to be nudged in that direction. Yeah. But I think we need to acknowledge that I think all of us came from fan art, and there's no shame in talking about that.
Yeah. Alexandra says, honestly, if it weren't for fan art, I would probably not start doing art. Mm. Join the club. I'm right there with you. I'm right there with you. Like, it's just, it's such a simple place to start, and it's so automatic, you know. Like, when I saw Hercules, I didn't know what a strong design was. I just knew I thought he was cool, and he had a sword, and he was really strong and stuff. And I was like, I want to be like that guy. He was like a friend of mine. I was like, it felt like drawing a friend, you know. It was really awesome.
I like that. I like putting it as drawing a friend. Jasmine says, hi, but isn't fan art the same as studying the masters? Yes, we have mentioned master copies before. It's exactly the same. Mm-hmm. Just call it fan art. Gosh. This is sort of like when comics were starting to be called graphic novels instead of comics. Because somehow graphic novels was a better word to use when it was just all comics. Like, let's just call it what it is. Fan art is fan art. Master copies is fan art.
Yeah. Like when you think about, like, some of the, like, the Renaissance stuff, or like the artists that all art schools will admire and they put in their presentations and be like, study this guy. It's it really just comes down to, you know, bias or what is that they want you to get something out of it, but they're telling you the same exact thing, like copy this guy and do what he did or what she did.
Right. So Art Prof, this slideshow is available in the YouTube video description below. And remember, Art Prof has a podcast. You can find us on both Spotify and iTunes. And remember to join us in the post live streams channel on the Art Prof Discord. If you guys aren't on Discord, hop on there. It's popping. We are a big family there. And subscribe to the Art Prof YouTube. Big thank you to all of our Patreon supporters. Without your guys' support, we wouldn't be able to talk about fan art today. And we also have a Patreon goal, so be aware of that as well. Thank you guys so much for joining us today and talking about our one true passion, fan art. And we will see you in the next stream. Bye!